Hi. So we're starting a new series today, which is called Fours. And over the last couple of years, actually, we've been organizing ourselves as a church into these small groups of four, so maybe three or four, sometimes two people in them. And the idea, Alex spoke to us about this about, what was it, like a year ago or something? 2 years ago, maybe. Quite a long time ago. But we're having a bit more of an accelerated push into this at the moment. So I was counting up yesterday, actually. I think it's about 73 people are in fours that I know about at the moment. So it's got some good momentum on this. And we want to spend these next few weeks speaking into this subject. And we're aware that walking closely with a few other Christians, which is what these are designed to be, can be really helpful and powerful. But it's also a challenge to us, and organizing that, and trying things out, and walking together is a bit of a journey. So we're aiming over time to teach into some of these things, and we made this little booklet, little fours guide, and there were four components we suggested thinking about when you meet as a four. It's on page 3-ish. So your Jesus story, progress, practices, and prayer. So we're gonna press into those. Through this sort of mini series. And as Alice said, that the principles are not just relevant to these fours we have within Hope. So those of you who are visiting or new, or for whom fours don't really work for some reason, and another setting is better for you, then these things should be helpful and useful still. So we're going to start off looking at a passage in the Bible. You should probably have one of these within reach. They're sort of every other chair-ish, so that might be useful to have. And then there should be a Bible within reach as well. if you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you've got a green Bible, might be page 884. So this is a letter written to a church in Greece by Paul. And Paul started churches all over the world after Jesus died and rose from the dead and then went to heaven. And then Paul took a lot of things forward in terms of taking the church to the non-Jewish world. And he's written this letter to this church in Greece in the city called Corinth. And he's writing actually particularly to address a couple of challenges in the church. They've had some false teachers come in who are sort of twisting stuff a little bit. And they're questioning Paul's authority and the leadership and so on. So he's writing to bring some correction to that, which is not really relevant to why we're reading it, but it'll help you as we read chapter 5. You might see a few mentions of that. Okay? So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, page 884. And here we go. For we know that when this earthly tent, we have a camping theme this morning, Singaporean tent, for we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is when we die and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself and not by human hands. We grow weary in our present bodies and we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. For we will put on our heavenly bodies, we will not be spirits without bodies. While we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and we sigh. But it's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. Rather, we want to put on our new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. God himself has prepared us for this. As a guarantee, he has given us his Holy Spirit. So we're always confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we're not at home with the Lord. For we live by believing, not by seeing. Yes, we're fully confident and we would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we'll be at home with the Lord. So whether we are here in this body or away from this body, our goal is to please him. For we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we've done in this earthly body. Because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord, we work hard to persuade others. God knows we are sincere, and I hope you know this too. Are we commending ourselves to you again? No, we're giving you a reason to be proud of us, so you can answer those who brag about having a spectacular ministry rather than having a sincere heart. If it seems we're crazy, it's to bring glory to God. And if we're in our right minds, it's for your benefit. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone, so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they'll live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. This is a key verse that I want to come back to. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. So what I like about this passage is that the theme this morning is our Jesus story, or your Jesus story. What I like about this passage is it kind of gives the whole of the Jesus story quite succinctly in this one passage. It talks about how that we're living on earth now, and it's a temporary thing, but actually there's a future that's going to come. There's going to be a have you got that slide, John, that first picture? It will appear in a minute. It's that wonderful, powerful gift to a Christian, I think, of this image of a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. And how I just love how brilliantly that explains, the summarizes the Christian life. And what this passage kind of goes into here, something that John Wimber talked about. John Wimber started the Vineyard network of churches and brought a lot that we take as normal, probably the type of worship we have on a Sunday. A lot of that goes back to John Wimber's influence. One of the things he described was he talked about the now and the not yet of the kingdom of God, how we in part experience the fullness of life that Jesus came to bring us now, but we kind of only get a taste of it, and there's a fullness of it that's going to come in the future. And that's what this passage is talking about here. He's talking about these bodies, and that we're sort of uncomfortable in this earthly body that we're in now. But there's going to be a resurrection time. There's going to be a time of judgment, and there's going to be a resurrection of us all, and we're going to receive these heavenly bodies. And so this image of us as caterpillars encountering Jesus, and encountering Jesus being born again and reborn as butterflies, three-dimensional creatures. I don't know about you, but I don't necessarily always feel butterfly-like in my daily life. And yet that is an inner transformation that has happened to me. My spirit has been changed and transformed from a caterpillar into a butterfly. So there's a sense in which I'm sort of semi-butterfly now. We're all semi-butterflies now. You smell the nectar, you see the flowers. But actually, the fullness of our butterfly-ness is to come in the future, in the life to come. We taste and we experience something of the fullness of Jesus now, but there's more that is to come. And this life on earth now is partly the kind of pupa stage, I suppose. It's partly sort of being made whole, being made new, and it's experiencing increasing levels of freedom. That's what that the Living Free course is designed to do. It's designed to help us to walk more freely and more fully into the freedom that Jesus has. And this is why we're having these fours. This is what they're all about. It's not just the purpose of it is this big story of God. This big story that there's some pretty heavy stuff in here. So we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body. You know, this is a really big deal, isn't it? It's really serious, this life that we're living on earth here. It's not just a game. And there are some very real things talked about in the Bible about heaven and hell. I don't fully understand these things. We don't know, you know, who's in and who's out, or quite the details of how that works. But God talks about this time of judgment, when we'll all come before Christ and we'll stand before him, and we'll be judged based on what we've done and what we haven't done. And within that, we are these people that are experiencing some of the freedom of Jesus and pressing into more of it. So, the aim of our fours, the aim of these relationships that are deep and tight with a small number of others is to help us in this present age become more butterfly-like. It's not very masculine, that. I'm sorry if you don't if you find that difficult. I'm quite happy being a butterfly. Help us to become more butterfly-like. Help us to be aware of this big story that we're a part of. And help us in this period of growth. I want to just draw out three particular things. Actually, before I do, can we just look at the next picture, John? And I think I thought of you, Michael, and Stan when I chose this one, our racing car expert in the church. And I was thinking, actually, when you think about these fours, this is just a bit of a contextual thing, don't think of it as being your primary place of spiritual feeding in the week or secondary place alongside a church gathering. The idea of these fours is that they are pit stop kind of moments. Okay, so we're designed to be walking with Jesus. Roger was talking about this last week. In the whole of life, wherever we are, in the different spheres of life that we're operating, we're designed to live as butterflies, even if we don't necessarily look like them all the time. But we're designed to live the inner butterfly every day. We're designed to be feeding with Jesus, connecting with Him, praying, reading the Bible, being people of God every day. And so, don't think of your four as being the place where that's where you'll spend half an hour in the Bible in the week, or that's your prayer time in the week. The idea is that this is, you are a racing car pinging around the track, and your four is coming in to get some more air in your tyres, to have your team kind of gather around you, top up your fuel. I don't really know much about racing, so this is probably a bit... But I wonder if the team kind of gives any sort of tips on strategy and stuff through the headset, or does that happen? Does that happen during the race? Okay, can we pretend it happens during the pit stop? That really helped my analogy. Okay, so have that in mind, and you think about fours, think about pit stops. Okay, I want to dip into three particular aspects of our Jesus story now. And the first one is the story of how we became a Christian. It's the story of how we changed from caterpillar to butterfly. It's your conversion story. And it's important that those that we're walking closely with know this story. Know it because it's an important part of who we are. And when we walk through challenging times together, they can look back and say, hey, I remember this happened to you. Maybe this is affecting how you're thinking now. We've got a newish elder team, leadership team for the church, and which started in February. And we spent our first few months actually listening to our personal Jesus stories. And there's quite a lot of vulnerability in there. They're quite gritty at times, hearing our stories. And that really helps to know each other deeply, and to know the change that where you were, where you are, and what's going on in your story. So I would say that for meeting in a four or having these sort of relationships, invest some time in sharing your Jesus story, and then know it. What I do on my phone, I use a brilliant app called Day One Journal, which you can sort of tag things in. So I've got sort of people's names and stuff and conversations or themes. So I might, if I was meeting, you know, in this context, just jot down a few notes on my phone about someone's Jesus story, tag it against their name, and I can come back to that in months ahead, and I can remember their story. So that's the first thing. Knowing our Jesus story, knowing others' Jesus stories. Second thing is knowing each other's original design. And if you're unaware of what original design is, it's a phrase that we use, a term that we use as coming through the Living Free course. And we see through the Bible God saying that He creates each person unique with a plan and a purpose and a design. And as Freddie would say, our little boy, he reckons his destiny is to be a bagpiper at the moment. So his destiny, and we see this. We see Psalm 139. I knitted you together in your mother's womb before you were formed. I knew you. We see Jesus saying to Peter, "You're the rock on which I'm going to build my church." Nathaniel, "You're a man of integrity, who doesn't do falsehood." And we see this creativity and this original purpose and so on each person. And part of our life, part of this caterpillar to butterfly journey, is becoming more fully who we were designed to be, our original design. And it's so helpful again to know the original design of the people that you're walking closely with. So me, for example, one of the things that I would struggle with, one of the challenges for me, would be insignificance, and it would be I haven't really got anything of value to bring or to share or to say. And actually, I'm getting a lot freer of it. It's not such an issue as it used to be, which is good because it shows this stuff's working. But that has certainly been a historic, quite a significant stronghold for me. So if I'm meeting in a four type setting, if I'm to sit down and or stand up or go for a walk, however you do it, and say, I'm just feeling really crap about myself. Don't feel I've got anything of value, and that might be my presenting behaviour that I bring to the group. Then one response could quite easily be, hey, Chris, just stop being so self-focused. Pull yourself together, crack on. That might be a potential response. A more encouraging response would be, Chris, we know your original design. We know who you really are. I want to call you up into your original design. Part of my original design is a Joshua type person. So Joshua in the Bible led the people of Israel into the promised land. He was a pioneer. He was a leader of people. And so to say to you, actually, Chris, if you're struggling with insignificance, that's directly coming against who God's made you to be. You're designed to be someone who leads and who takes new land and who pioneers. And that's, again, the verse I just mentioned in this passage, which I think says this quite well, is verse 16. So Paul says, in light of this big picture, in light of this big story, verse 16, so we stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has come. So we think of the pit stop image, we think of the butterfly image. The pit stop team says, hey, famous racing car driver, Lewis Hamilton, you're having a bad day, you're not taking the corners as well. You can tell I'm a real pro at this, aren't you? But remember who you are, you know, and this is what you've done before. You've been, I don't know, way back in the pack in the past, and you've aggressively taken those corners and you've come into the lead again, and you've won the race. And it's this team which is cheering for you, saying, I know who you are, Lewis. I know that you can do this. I know you were born to be the greatest racing car driver of all time. Pushed it a bit too much there. Have an area of expertise and stick to it. That's original design. And a third feature of this Jesus story. So we have a personal story of our caterpillar to butterfly moment, our pupation moment, turning into a butterfly, which is a continual journey, but there is a moment in time when we put our life in Christ's hands, we accept his forgiveness, and so on. So there's knowing our original design, who we're becoming. And then we're also called to be within this big story of God, to share that message with other people. And I don't personally find this very easy at all. I find it quite difficult. But we are called as butterflies, I'm just going to stick on this analogy, we're called as butterflies to say to a world of caterpillars, you were designed to be butterflies. Come and fly. It puts it a bit differently here. So verse 18 of this passage. All of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task, here we go, of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors, reconcilers, ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. So the third aspect then of this Jesus story is us sharing the Jesus life with others around us, people who don't know Jesus. And again, that's such a helpful thing for us to be aware of in a four type setting, so we can pray for other people and we can say, you know, who are the people that you're particularly praying for, and who are particularly in your life. We have this concept we talk about within Hope called people of peace, and it's recognizing that there are people who God is already at work in their life, and they're hungry and they're interested, and he's already drawing them to himself. And we say, who are those people that are interested in wanting to know Jesus, who we can continue to pray for and share our lives with in that sort of a way. So again, really helpful within your four to know and share your Jesus story, share your original design, and share the people that you're praying for and inspiring and reconciling to Christ and encouraging to be butterflies. I think we might stop there. I think that's probably about it. So, can we pray? Lord, as we're forming these fours across the church, our goal and our aim is to be effective and whole, mature Christians who are walking with you in a way where we're changing constantly and we're growing and we're becoming more like Jesus. That we are becoming more of the butterfly that we were made to be. Thank you, Lord, that we have stories of you interacting with us and transforming our lives. Thank you that you have an original design that you're calling us to live in. And thank you that you've entrusted your message, this good news of Jesus, for us to pass on to the world around us. And we pray for the fours in hope, those that we're a part of, those that we're not a part of. We pray that these groups will flourish and thrive as these pit stop places that will bring us on, spur us on in this race, in this walk. Thank you, Lord, that you have blessed Hope through the history here with people doing life together in an authentic and a deep way. And may that continue. Amen. Great.
Faith comes by hearing the word of God. So when we declare with our words to other people our own story in our fours, and when we declare his story in our fours, that increases and activates faith. Something happens transactionally when we speak out truth that actually releases faith. It's the same with people who don't yet know Jesus. We are absolutely all about whole life. Like, we pour out, we love, we do acts of service, as you know, and believe in supernatural healing. And then there comes a moment when we speak the word and faith is activated for that person to believe. And we are going to encourage and equip every single person to be mobilized, to be able to share their story within 2 minutes or 10 minutes, depending on what's appropriate for the conversation. But we have to give people the gift of the opportunity of hearing so that faith can be activated, because that's how God's designed faith to be activated, through hearing the word of God. So we bless you all in that capacity. We bless you this week in your four to say, hold me accountable to tell someone who doesn't yet know Jesus my story, any aspect of it. God healed me. God guided me. God provided. It's any aspect of that personal encounter, but let's just start making it the new normal. It's the new normal for me. I just assume I'm going to bump into people and talk to them about God or Jesus. And out of that place, faith can be activated. And anything less is actually withholding from people, because we're not giving them the opportunity to believe. So now we would love to pray for people to be healed. Yeah, if anyone wants to be in a four, do, and we are just stewarding as much organic connections as possible, because God works through organic networks. But if you are kind of either with maybe one other person and want more or anything, or having a kind of block with it, please come and talk to me or Chris, and we can organise that.
And the other thing we'd love to do now, just on a different tack, really, is we had quite a few, several significant healings in Hope in 2016. When we wrote this little book as a kind of, to document it, really. If you'd like one, we had quite a few left over, so they're on the desk behind Kate. Feel free to take one. So there were stories of Kat being healed of ME, Rachel from cancer, and we're aware that there are other people in the church that are not well. And we've been encouraged to continue to pray for people within the church who are not well. And so I think it's something we'd like to try and do regularly on a Sunday after the service. So if people are not well, then please, would you come forward afterwards when we finish, and we'll have to be able to pray. We want to press in more to healing. This is part of the butterfly life, actually. It should be a normal thing, and there's a tension in it, because it's a now and a not yet. There's more butterfly nest for us to experience in this area, but we don't always. But it's part of the Christian life. So we want to pray more into people for healing. So just please do come forward after when Alice closes, and we'd love to pray for you.
So let's pray again. Lord, I thank you for relationship. I thank you that you never called anyone to follow you alone. That's actually dysfunctional to say, I just follow Jesus. Will you always call us to follow you in deep partnership with other people? Just those few other people we go deep with, and that shows whether we really love you is by how we love one another. So we command, if you like, a transactional shift in our amongst this community here, amongst the Hope community, into moving into this depth of relationship, of just processing stuff and becoming whole relationally, where we've maybe not been trained at all in how to do relationship well, or only partly trained. May we just be so full and whole at doing relationships well as we journey on this together. Brave communication, great conflict resolution, kindness, and just loyalty to one another, partnering and overcoming, not colluding with self-pity, all these things empower us and equip us to have strong, deep, overcoming relationships. And empower us and to know that we are authorized to minister, that God is making his appeal to the world of people who don't know you yet through us. We are plan A and there is no plan B. May we be authorized to minister and know that. In the name of Jesus, amen.